If you don't succeed, try again. And you still don't succeed, try again. Ain't that right, Chris Statlander? Eh? What's going on, everyone? Saturday night, February 29th, 2020, AEW Revolution. You want a war? You got one. You know, somebody sent me this as a gift, and I promised him that I would actually wear it tonight. Now, for everybody in the chat, just very quickly, I said, let me know if the video quality looks crisper and cleaner tonight, because I actually played around with a little bit of settings, and I got a crash course on the difference between 1080i and 1080p, and up until tonight, the video quality was always 1080i, which is interlaced, and you know, I never really paid that much attention to it because I never did video before. So now I did 1080p, and I changed a couple of codecs, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, no gremlins tonight. But I got to tell you, man, AEW Revolution is in the books. Thought it was an awesome pay-per-view. Would I say it was better than NXT TakeOver Portland? See, I don't like comparing the two in that sense, because AEW, I know some people don't like when I say this, but AEW is more of an entertainment. NXT is entertainment as well. Like I said, unless the wrestling you're watching in the ring is not predetermined, you're watching entertainment. Whether it's Ring of Honor, ML, that doesn't, it's entertainment. But I know this might annoy some people because I keep bringing it up, but a lot of you out there may remember about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, once we heard that AEW was forming and we started to hear little rumblings of what it was going to be, I came up and I said, they are going to be the first ever millennial promotion. A lot of people didn't understand what I meant by that. I think you're starting to understand it now. Now, look, I get why Cornette and others get pissed off when they see Orange Cassidy. This is what these guys need to understand. You know, they talk about protecting the beauty of professional wrestling and this and that. What's up, 90s guy? Yeah, Moxley, new champion. We'll talk about that. But, you know, the thing with Cornette that I disagree with is you look at baseball in the 1920s, in the 1950s, in the 1970s, when they started the DH rule. You know, things evolve over time. You look at forms of entertainment. You look at reality television. You look at soap operas. You look at movies. You look at horror films. You know, with the incorporation of everything being computerized, you know, a lot of us would appreciate seeing some of the old school horror films from the 70s and the 80s. But now with computer technology, my God, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? So you add a little bit of comedy, a little bit of humor, a little bit of lighthearted fun, a little bit, you know, and they're just bitter about it. You have to evolve. You have every right to your opinion to feel that certain things are not necessarily to your liking. But I'll say this. There's a lot of podcasters out there. And look, I promised everyone for the month of March, I'm not going to focus on the goofs. We're going to just focus on us, the Donzilla Army. And I promise you all, but it's not March 1st yet. No, but seriously, you have podcasters and bloggers that claim to be journalists, news reporters, doing podcasting, and they rip Orange Cassidy every week with the pockets, every week doing this with the kick and the punch. There is something called YouTube. We're on it now. You don't know about Orange Cassidy's in-ring repertoire by now? You've never gone on YouTube to go see, does this guy know how to wrestle? How do people that have websites and blogs and shows for years and years and years never bother to look it up to see if this guy knows how to wrestle? Again, everybody, I'm sorry for keep bringing this up, but I want it instilled in everybody's brain. And I'm sorry if it triggers some people, and I'm sorry if you think I'm taking shots towards individuals. I say this, if the shoe fits, wear it. Wear it. If you're just lazy, and you talk about Raw and you talk about SmackDown and you crap on everything else because that gets you the most attention online. Write about a Ring of Honor event. When you get two likes, it's not because you love Ring of Honor, but you don't want to talk about it anymore because nobody wants to pay attention to you. That's what I have to say about that. So, and you know what? To all those goofs out there, you want a war? You got one. So, anyway, the next show will be in March. So, like I said, throughout the month of March, you know, people give up things for Lent. You give up meat for Lent. I'm going to give up talking about the goofs for Lent. How's that? Now, AEW pay-per-view. I got a lot of match predictions wrong. And honestly, I'm happy with that. Because it was not as predictable as you expected it to be. Young Bucks not winning the belts. You know, I think that's probably a surprise to a lot of you out there. Moxley winning the belt. You know, it was funny because I started reading this weekend, oh, Fozzy's going to be touring in April, and blah, 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 blah. And maybe Jericho might lose the belt because of that. And I'm like, wait, we're only February 29th. He could lose it, you know, on AEW Dynamite between now and April. But, hey, he won the belt and Moxley, and it was a pretty good match. I tell you, when he got the microphone and a little speech, I was started thinking to myself, oh, my God, do I need to go get a Brody Lee shirt from my closet and put it on tonight? Anybody think that maybe somebody was going to come out and maybe confront Moxley at the very end? We get any answer to the Exalted One? Yeah. Was Colt Cabana the Exalted One? No, we didn't get the answer. Look, there was a couple of things I didn't like tonight. But I will tell you, this pay-per-view was solid from top to bottom. You know, let's be honest. You know, I'm a defender of AEW. I also criticize it. I am right down the middle, and I appreciate everybody who notices that. Even promotions now are noticing. I am right down the middle, and I'll say what's on my mind. I'll also give kudos when things are improved, and AEW is definitely improved in a lot of ways. All right, but I'll also say this, though. When I see people writing perfect, flawless, you know, there is nothing in wrestling that is perfect and flawless. Until the next one that gives you an orgasm, it's perfect, it's flawless. Was Cody and MJF tonight perfect? No, it wasn't. Was Orange Cassidy and Pac flawless? No, it wasn't. Was the Young Bucks and Omega and Paige flawless? No, it wasn't. They were freaking kick-ass matches, but nothing is flawless. So when you see these people over the top with, couldn't have been any better. You know, in all my life, there's very few things that have made me cry, and this made me cry. You know, seriously, check your medication. You know, wrestling is supposed to be suspension of disbelief. It's a soap opera. It's a form of entertainment. It's like going to the movies. You know, if it's so flawless, it should win Academy Awards. So what did I have a problem with tonight with the pay-per-view? It's the same problem that I've been saying since day one. Give AEW a lot of credit. They are fixing a lot of problems. But the referees, it's terrible. It's not the whole night, but it's terrible when you have Jim Ross at least four or five times tonight basically telling the referees in storyline, do your job. You know, Cody, oh, he wants to slap MJF one more time. The referee, oh, go do it. No, son of a bitch, you're supposed to cut this shit down the middle. It doesn't matter. You know, this ain't like Earl Hebner when he used to push Triple H and Triple H used to push him back or vice versa. No. And then early in the night, you know, it's what I wished, and you know what would have fixed this problem tonight? This is what I wished tonight more than anything else. AEW's got to start understanding that no DQs are embraced. It's wonderful. You can't have these referees ignoring all of this stuff and then try to play off that they're enforcing the rules. I mean, I understand once in a while you want to have a DQ finish here and there, but you AEW built up some of these feuds beautifully. You think about tonight, even Hager and Dustin, that feud was built up nicely. Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, that feud was built up nicely. Jericho, Moxley, that feud was built up nicely. The Young Bucks, Omega and Page, that feud was built up nicely. You know, think of how many matches I just brought up. So if you bring up these feuds where you really have that suspension of disbelief that somebody really wants to get revenge on the other person, make them no DQ. Make them no DQ. I mean, what's the purpose of having Dustin and Hager brawling into Dippy Dot Land last week, and then they can only do it for 7 seconds or 10 seconds today because the referee might count out? Just let it go. It's a pay-per-view. Maybe you make television where the rules are enforced. Yeah, I know you want to pop ratings and this and that, but the pay-per-view should be more lax. That's something, and yes, I'm going to go there. That's something that the Attitude Era used to do perfectly. And matches were not labeled no DQ from the beginning. How many matches from the Attitude Era, main events on pay-per-views, did you see the wrestlers brawl into the stands, brawl into the crowd, doing things up the rampway, doing things in a guardrail, doing things in a barricade, and it wasn't no DQ? They need to embrace that further, because if they would have just let these guys go on a pay-per-view, you know, it avoids the goofy dumb shit that the referees do. You know, here's a good one. During the PAC Orange Cassidy match, you had the Lucha Brothers come out. They're brawling with Best Friends. And the referee is on the second guard. And I really can't, like, stand up right now because I just have shorts on below. I mean, look, they're shorts. They're not underwear. But I kind of look kind of goofy, you know, the way I'm dressed. I'm relaxed. It's almost midnight over here. I just want to be comfortable. But you got the referee on the second rope going, bring them in the back. Bring them in the back. Bring them in the back. They're up the rampway. They're right near the curtain. And the referee, bring him in the back. You enforce the rules, but bring him in the back. Must have said it like 10 times. You know, they need to fix this consistency with the reps. That thing with Cody with the belt. Oh, just let me. That's like a little kid. Ma, can I just stay outside 5 more minutes? Honey, can I just finish this game? You know, referee, can I just whip him one more time? I know it might sound like I'm nitpicking. Maybe I am. But this referee shit, if they would just fix the referee stuff. See, they're on the inside looking out. And I don't know what the deal is with some of these referees. I don't know. Yo, tag team referee extraordinaire. Okay, fine. He could do a better job than me, so I can't argue with that. But they're on the outside. They're on the inside looking out. They don't see it the way you and I see it. So they think that there's no real problem and this and that, but there is. And if they would just fix that and let these people go loose, if you're not going to DQ anybody on a pay-per-view, then don't do what they do, because it looks really ridiculous where you're trying to enforce everything 1 minute and then the other minute, they're like flailing their arms like they got seizures. Anyway, I'm ranting a little bit about it because, look, there was only 7 matches, 8 if you want to include the kickoff show. And some of these matches, I mean, I'm not someone over here that is going to spend time and get into move by move by move. I want to talk about certain things, you know, that caught my eye. You know, if you need so many detailed spots of move, and yes, I'm going to talk about individual things that stood out to me, but if you really need like an hour of explanation of this move and this move and the Indie Taker and this and that, and it, just watch it. Just watch it. It was an awesome pay-per-view. Definitely solid from top to bottom. You know, it's a shame of what happened with Chris Statlander and Nyla Rose, because they, you know, unfortunately, they stunk up the joint. You know, obviously, they had to follow, you know, the tag match, but still, you know, it was just the drizzling shits, man. I mean, I just was not good at all. But anyway, let's talk about it a little bit, shall we? And, oh, by the way, for those who did tune into the WWE Super Showdown pay-per-view recap, I fixed the issue with the chat room. There was some technical issues. I think a couple of people were, they thought there were bots in there. So I fixed that problem. Yours truly is in control. And if anybody does that stuff again, they'll just be banned and blocked and booted. We're not going to waste our time on those goofs. Anyway, so AEW Revolution tonight, Chicago, Illinois. I was supposed to be there. I had my plane. I had my hotel. I had everything booked. And C2E2 decided to take away. And for those that don't know, you know, I was going to be there. Mish. We had a bunch of others. We were going to have like a 1 hour Q&A deal. I had the hotel. I don't even remember the name of the hotel, but I was literally a half a block from the arena. We were going to do C2E2, do the convention, do a 1 hour Q&A with everybody, hang out, go out for Chicago dinner, and then go to AEW. Now I was going to fly home tomorrow. And then what happened? C2E2 takes away the Q&A. No, we can only give you 15 minutes. Oh, fuck you. Ain't going all the way to Chicago for 15 minutes for a convention I don't give a shit about. So, Alberts, no DT signs tonight. Yeah, AEW does not have too many signs. And honestly, it is what it is. I know why he's saying that, too. For all of you that have no idea, a Don Tony sign got confiscated in Saudi Arabia this week. And if those don't know about it either, last week on NXT, which I can bring up because that's part of Wednesday Night Dynamite. I didn't even realize this, but last week on NXT, when Roderick Strong was fighting Velveteen Dream, when they did the split screen commercial break, apparently Velveteen Dream picked up a Don Tony sign, was using it against Roderick Strong, lifted it in the air, and then threw it down. And then, you know, about a week later, there's a Don Tony sign being confiscated 7,000 miles away in Saudi Arabia. Pretty cool week, I think. So, and February's closing out with a bang, man. You know, just think, less than 2 months ago, I wasn't even here on YouTube with all of you doing video. It's just, it's amazing what has developed so far. I'm just excited to see what happens 6 months from now with this channel. There's going to be so many things that you have no idea. But anyway, AEW, Revolution, Chicago, Illinois. Pre-show was Excalibur and Taz. You know, I've been singing the good graces of Taz. Again, I will keep saying it as well. We need at least one announcer to be a wise ass. You know, nothing wrong with Excalibur, nothing wrong with Shivani, and nothing wrong with Jim Ross. I've been defending them since day one. But the idea that all three announcers, oh, this is wonderful. Oh, this is what, I've never seen anything as great as this. This is unbelievable. You know, no, we need, and the great thing about Taz was last week when he was doing a couple of fill-ins for Wednesday's Dynamite show, you know, he was for a little while making a couple of little snide remarks, and that's what's missing in AEW, man. So anyway, Dark Order versus Kazarian and Scorpio Sky. All right. Now, we had Evil Uno. And you know what? I joke about Evil Uno with his tits. I call him Evil Pizza Uno. That's what I call him. Evil Pizza Uno. Pizza Uno is a famous pizzeria. You know, not as good as, you know, the Italian pizzerias, but Pizza Uno is not too bad. But anyway, Evil Uno, when he's in the ring, he's not, I don't see his tits jiggling as much as when he's outside the ring, when he's wearing a suit. But he teams up with Stu Grayson. He's got the creepers. You know, I call the goofy podcasters that won't show their face the creepers. John Silver and Alex Reynolds outside. They're taking on Kazarian, Scorpio Sky. Now, up until today, we all think that Christopher Daniels, maybe they're going to make it Mr. Obvious and he's the exalted one, but it seemed too obvious and they're trying to play off on it. So before the match happens, Scorpio Sky and Kazarian tell Christopher Daniels, you know, just stay in the back tonight. And people are wondering, uh-oh, you know, is he going to come out later, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, they have their match. It was okay match. Nothing spectacular about it. Early on, Kazarian was getting the shit knocked out of him. Scorpio Sky does the hot tag. They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, it was not a bad match. But in the end, you know, you had the Dark Order get the win. Now we're thinking Exalted One's going to come out. You have the whole Dark Order beating them down and blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, Colt Cabana's music hits. Now, I like Colt Cabana. I've joked on the shows in the past, the episodes, that Colt Cabana is like, and I say this with in a complimentary, lighthearted way. He's like the, oh boy, how do I say this without being offensive? He's like the slut that shows up in every party. You know, just because you got to be at every party. He's in NWA. He's in Ring of Honor. He's in TNA or Impact Wrestling. He's here. He's here. He's here. And he shows up today, you know. And he hits the ring. He makes the save. They're in Chicago. He's from Chicago. The crowd loves it. He looks great. He's in great shape. He's fun. He's talented. And I'm like, is he the exalted one? Like, he made the save. And I'm like, okay, you know, SCU and Cabana. Anyway, Daniels comes out. People are wondering, you know, first he comes out almost like, you remember Vince? It was me, Austin. It was me all along. You know, we thought, you know, it's what he was wearing. You know, remember the higher power thing? So Daniels comes out. We don't know who's under the thing. I'm looking at the shoes right away, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is a smaller guy. And he reveals the thing. It's Daniels. He starts attacking the Dark Order, and they clear the ring. We don't find out nothing. Look, AEW has done a great job of pulling back on the Dark Order and doing it gradually. Whoever the Exalted One ends up being, it's got to kick ass, all right? It's not going to be like the Nightmare Collective where there's just going to be some abrupt ending to it and then maybe Evil Pizza Uno's outside his house throwing stuff away and his version of that white dog comes out and stuff. You know, whoever it is, this has got to kick ass. So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, again, I'm saying to myself, you know, I'm trying to figure out, would Brody Lee be a great higher power? I know a lot of you out there think Matt Hardy. I'll tell you what's funny. I'm not saying it's going to be Matt Hardy, but wouldn't it be funny if AEW right now really, you know, like they know who they want as the Exalted One, but then they hear the rumblings that Matt Hardy's contract, you know, he hasn't signed a new deal with WWE yet. And you think AEW, I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm not trying to report anything. I like bringing up common sense. I wrote something early about the whole thing with Roman Reigns and, you know, and Goldberg, and I'll talk about that Monday. But, you know, I like to think outside the box. But you think there's a possibility that AEW right now has like no conclusion with the revelation of the Exalted One. And they're like, you know, Matt Hardy, hurry. He obviously, they're not going to call him, but hurry up with your decision, man. If you don't sign, you know, we'll make you the Exalted One. Oh man, he's still now he's pondering NXT. And we got to reveal this Exalted One. Oh, his kind. We're going to reveal the pay-per-view. You know, do you think that they're buying extra time because they're holding out? It's almost like, I'm trying to think, it's almost like, you know, you're scheduled to go on a date with someone, but you really want to bang someone else, and you think you might have the opportunity to bang this other person instead. So you tell this other person, look, you know, I wanted to go out tonight, but I'm a little under the weather, and they said, let's do it next week. And meanwhile, you're sending emails to the other chick out there like, hey, you know, why don't we get together Friday? Oh, I'm not sure yet. I might have to work late. So you keep making excuses. You keep postponing. You know, they need to reveal this crap. And if they reveal the higher power to be even whatever his name is, Nakazaki, whatever his name is, Nakazawa. No, the Nakazawa is Yuki. But I'm drawing a blank right now. I said I wouldn't have had any problem with him being the leader of the Dark Order. But is he Nakazawa too? Why does that sound so? Anyway, Michael Nakazawa. Wait. Yuki Nakazawa. So we got two Nakazawas in AEW. We got Yuki and we got Michael. It would be funny if they revealed the high, even if it was Bischoff, like Machiavelli say, it would be funny if they revealed the higher power. And then a week later, Matt Hardy announces, hey, I'm not signing with WWE. I could go wherever I want. And they're like, motherfucker, we could have waited an extra week and got him as the higher power. Anyway. As you can see, I'm trying to stretch this recap a little bit. Let's get into the meat potatoes. Pay-per-view starts, Dustin Rhodes versus Jake Hager. Fun match. It was fun to see Dustin come out with a t-shirt that says he was here to fight Jericho's bitch. You know, funny shirt. Crowd was chanting Jericho's bitch. Jake Hager is married to Catalina White. He's playing tonsil hockey with her at ringside. And I'm watching all of these rejects on social media that is uncomfortable about what they're watching. You know, I don't know if you were looking at Jake Hager playing tonsil hockey with his wife of 10 years, or if you meant being uncomfortable, you were just looking in a mirror. But people are uncomfortable. You know, this is to get extra heat under Jake Hager. That's his wife. She's a model. I hate to say this because they got kids, but didn't a sex tape get revealed involving her? That's what I heard. I never bothered to look. I'm not interested in that, you know? Anyway, match was good, back and forth. You know, it was one point where Jake Hager went outside the ring, and this is where sometimes when you have the camera replays that maybe you should look at it closely before doing a camera replay, because they showed the replay Hager going over the corner and, you know, trying to play off that he hit his head against the barricades and it wasn't even close. But it was a fun match. There was another point during the match where people got triggered online because Dustin went to kiss Catalina White. And it was funny because if you don't know this, you got to watch it in slow motion. But here's a little acting tip that a lot of people don't know. It wasn't sexual assault today. You watch a movie and somebody force kisses someone, it's a fucking movie. It's a form of entertainment. Dustin did not perform sexual assault on Catalina White today. It was part of the goddamn script. It was a form of entertainment. But here's the thing. When you go to acting school, and you do scenes, and this is more old school. I think Susan Lucci one time, she might have been on Fox News. There's an infamous clip on YouTube. If you look it up, just look up Susan Lucci kiss Fox News. You'll see what I'm talking about. That if you go to kiss someone, like especially in soap operas, but you really don't want to kiss the person, or they want to give that, you know, that illusion that you are. Like, there's a way of positioning yourself, but you're really, like, kissing their cheek and this and that. If you look at Dustin very, very close, Johnny Z says fans were joking. Johnny, I think you were the ones that were joking. No. There was a lot of women on social media tonight because I was watching what was trending to see what the overall consensus was. That's when I saw all the things about Orange Cassidy. That's why I thought it was funny. I'm looking at all these veteran podcasters that were like marking out for Orange Cassidy. Holy shit, did you see what he just did off the top rope? Oh my God, did you see him do this? And I'm like, have you ever watched one goddamn match of him on the indie circuit? So I don't just look at friends list, Johnny. I look at what's trending on social media. There were a lot of people, especially women, who were accusing Dustin of sexual assault for forcibly kissing the wife of a wrestler. Can't make this up, everybody. But anyway, What you do is you like kiss them on the side, and if you look closely, you do it in slow motion, you'll see that Dustin was not kissing the lips of Catalina White. He was like, if this was her lips, if this was her lips right here, okay, that's the nose and that's the lips. He was like this on the side. And he was rubbing his face so some of his face paint would be, I'm not going to breathe in this air right now, canned air. But, and by the way, if you never saw it, go look, just search canned air on my YouTube channel and just see what happened with me with a paper shredder. But yeah, that's all he did. That's all he did. He was on her cheek. And he was moving his face so the face paint would go on her face for a visual. It's a freaking form of entertainment. Anyway, bottom line is we got Jake Hager getting the win. Match went about 14 minutes. It was fun. You know, Dustin selling his arm at the very end. Jake Hager hasn't missed a beat. He looks phenomenal. Here's hoping that we don't have to wait until the next pay-per-view to see him in the ring again. Something tells me it might wrestle Wednesday or the following Wednesday. But the match was fun. It was a nice opener for the pay-per-view. Next, we had Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin. Look, we have commented in the past that Darby Allin is still green in a lot of ways. You see some of his dives, they're just reckless. But you see, this guy is putting it together. Honestly, other than that one tope suicida when he dove outside the ring and Sammy Guevara is upside down on the barricade and Darby Allin missed and was underneath Guevara and went head first, I think that's the only time tonight that it looked a little. But you know what? Kudos to JR for saying sometimes you miss. Oh my God, rocket science, common sense. JR said the perfect thing. Hey, sometimes you miss. It's so he protected Darby Allin. The match kicked ass, man. Early on, I said, this is my favorite match of the night. And you know what? It's close to being my favorite match of the night. And I'll explain why later. I lean a little bit more towards Page and Omega versus the Young Bucks, but very, very close. Second place. But Guevara and Darby Allin tore it up tonight. You know, I saw a few people online talking about, wow, you know, Darby Allin, he's going to be a future star and this, this, and that tonight. And I agree, 100%. But, you know, give Sammy Guevara a little bit of credit, too. There were two guys in that ring today that are extremely, extremely young, that still have a long way to put it all together. And you could see that these two guys are on their way. And the match was just phenomenal. That 630 senton that Guevara did to Allin through the table, outside the ring, insane. Yeah, it might look a little too reckless, but these guys have it. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I loved the match. You know, they brawled for a little while. That's how they were trying to justify the outside the ring assault, since it was not a no DQ. The bell didn't ring yet. So because the bell didn't ring, whatever happened, happened. That's not the way it goes. The officials are supposed to like break it up and force, put them in the ring and start the match. Once again, I go back to what I said earlier. When you build up intense feuds like you did for tonight's pay-per-view, the matches I mentioned earlier, those four or five matches, you have that much suspension of disbelief that these guys want to tear each other apart. Make it a fucking no DQ. It's not rocket science. Make it an no DQ. You don't have to change anything with the match. Make it no DQ. Very simple. But you know, it was just a phenomenal match. And Darby Allin with that coffin drop. Yeah, look, he's done it before, but Guevara was so much farther on the opposite side of the ring. The match was great. Some people think that Guevara is getting too many losses on TV. I don't think so at all. Guevara is just got that look. Look, Spanish God, no. But you know, you got to understand something. You got to just picture in real life. See, I live in New York. So, you know, Jersey is pretty close. And anybody that's now checking out my Instagram, little by little, I'm starting to put up photos from me in the late 80s, early 90s. And unfortunately, it appears I was Jersey Shore at that time, too. I can't stand it now. But the thing is that back in the day, especially, and even when I told the Butterfingers story with the Sergio Tacchini outfit a week and a half ago, you would walk into a place and see 20, 21-year-old, 22-year-olds that thought they were gods. They thought they were God's gift to women. They would walk around like, you know, you should be kissing their hand. That's what Guevara is. You want to see Guevara get his ass kicked. He's not losing any stock right now because he's losing. Because getting wins right now does not do anything for his character. Being a Spanish god, getting under your skin, and being cocky, that's what his job is. And you want to see him get his ass kicked. So he loses no stock by losing today against Darby Allin. Excellent match. Loved it. Kind of wish it went a little bit longer, but still no problems. Something tells me we will have a rematch in the very near future. So now we go to the Young Bucks versus Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. I mean, they just tore the house down. The match went over 30 minutes. I don't know if anybody else out there was a little bit surprised at the amount of boos the Young Bucks were getting in this match. More importantly, how insanely over Hangman Page was. Now, look, I don't want to jump back and forth with this match. As you could see, I am looking at you. I have tons of notes, but I decided halfway through what I've done so far is I don't need the fucking notes. I'll just tell you what comes to mind. If I want to see a particular specific stat, I will. But if anybody did not tune into my pay-per-view predictions the other day, I actually had made this comment about their match tonight. Enough. So to me, you leave it on Nyla Rose. Young Bucks versus Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. I have been talking about this for about, what, ever since Page and Omega won the belts. I said they will face the Young Bucks at Revolution, and there will be dissension, and everything that, you know, I said leading up to it has happened. Now, the big question is, do the Young Bucks win the tag titles at Revolution? I think it's time. I think the Young Bucks should get the win. I don't know if they should be. They have had so many faux pas in their matches so far. Too many times where Page inadvertently hit Omega and vice versa, but they would still overcome. So I'm a little sick of that happening, but you almost feel like it has to happen now on Saturday. This time, maybe Page nails Omega. I don't know. But, you know, there's two ways you could go with this. You could have Omega and Page retain. And, you know, maybe they show some respect to the Young Bucks after the match is over, and Page is a little annoyed at that, and maybe that just starts the beginning and the end of Page and Omega, but not necessarily the split on the pay-per-view. Pretty much what happened. You know, the Young Bucks were getting booed big time. Not overwhelmingly, but substantially. Hangman Page is tremendously over with the crowd. I really wonder if AEW, I'm not saying they're having second thoughts. That's the one thing that I'm hoping AEW will be different from the WWE. You know, no matter how many times the McMahons come out on TV and we're listening, we'll give you what you want, and this, this, and that, you know that when they have an agenda, when they want to do something with someone, they go full steam ahead. They don't give a shit. All right. They give a shit, but they are convinced that their outcome is what you want. You just don't realize you want that outcome yet. I'm wondering if AEW is starting to say, whoa, wait a minute. This guy is mega over with the crowd. How do we turn this guy right now? And I think, and I'm hoping, not that I think, I'm hoping that AEW in the back is having that discussion, because he's, you could hear it. The crowd is into it. He's not, you know, he's interactive with the beers and everything like that, but he has some attitude problems in the match. You know, he's like slapping Omega on the chest, you know, go do this, go do this. You know, and Omega early on was kind of like being a little bit resistant to doing certain things, even though the Young Bucks were going full-blown with their assault on the team. But those loud cowboy shit chants, and what about later on when Nick Jackson was in the ring with Hangman Page and the crowd was going, fuck him up, Hangman, fuck him up, Hangman, fuck. You know, this guy is seriously over. There's not too many guys that are on that level. And the match was just incredible. Now, like I said, I could go on Twitter. I'm not stupid. I could go on Twitter and say this is one of the greatest matches that I've seen in the last 10 years. They absolutely had a flawless match. You got to go out of your way to see him, blah, 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 blah. And about 500 people will love it. I'd rather be straight up. I don't give a shit if there's likes or not. I don't give a shit if there's not as many people tuning in. I'd rather be straight up and tell you how I feel. I think if you would have beheaded some of these guys during the match, they would have still kicked out. It gets to a point where you should not do certain things and have someone kick out. Towards that end of that match, when you have the double team work that Omega and Page were doing, and you have these guys still kicking out at two, I mean, it's just, it's just really hard to suspend that much disbelief. The moves were incredible. I mean, the Young Bucks are every bit as good as they say they are. Same as Kenny Omega, same as Hangman Page. Now, look, I have also said since day one, especially since that match they had with the Lucha Brothers, you have to look at a Young Bucks match like a video game. It's video game rules. You see, you know, you see one of them selling that their jaw is broken in half, and then a minute later, come on, come on, come on. There was one point where one of the Young Bucks was laid out in the ring, and I don't remember if Omega hit the hot tag or vice versa, but then all of a sudden he just jumps up, and he's running back to the rope, coming back, getting knocked on the floor. It's just the no-selling is way over the top sometimes. The match was still incredible. These guys pull out moves that sometimes you say, I've never seen that before. The match told a wonderful story. You know, you wondered if there was going to be that faux pas. And look, I've been complaining for a bunch of weeks now about that faux pas that keeps happening with Page and Omega in the ring. Really didn't see that tonight. Perfect. That's what I wanted. You had, you know, the Young Bucks playing heel technically tonight, and the crowd ate it up. The match was phenomenal. Now, I don't like bringing up WWE when I do AEW stuff or Wednesday Night Dynamite, but I'm going to say it like this. Anybody that listens to me or watches me on a regular basis knows that for the last 9 months, especially on Monday, for the last 9 months, I said, Roman Reigns still got that WrestleMania main event coming. They're just keeping his seat warm. They're going to, right now, it may come off that he's not in any title picture and he's doing the Baron Corbin. I said it so many times on Monday. You wait till it gets closer to WrestleMania. They're keeping the seat warm. They're not changing their plans. That's exactly what they're doing. In my opinion, same thing with the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are winning those tag titles very, very soon. The fact that they didn't win it tonight was excellent because we all thought that was going to happen. We all thought there was going to be a split. I even joked a couple of weeks ago. I know it's a clip on YouTube too. I said, wouldn't it be something if Hangman Page was the exalted one? I'm not saying that, but the match was just freaking incredible. The abuse, that those guys cook. And remember, and I mentioned this on Wednesday, we just had an Ironman match between Pac and Kenny Omega that is arguably my favorite match so far for 2020, maybe next to Keith Lee and Dominic Dijakovic. So the match was just incredible. And in the end, the Young Bucks lost. Now, it was a very interesting moment where Hangman Page was looking at Kenny Omega outside. He was outside the ring area on the rampway, and he's just leaning on the rope, and he's watching Kenny Omega kind of, you know, making amends with the Young Bucks and showing respect and this and that. And Kenny Omega, you know, is not paying attention. And at one point, Hangman Page put the title on the floor and was staring at Omega, and he had these, like, crazy eyes. And, you know, the announcers sold it, like, did you see what I just saw, and this and that. But it ends up, Kenny Omega turns around. It looked like Page was like, not tonight, not tonight, saying to himself. And he holds the rope up, they leave, but it puts that, plants that seed that something ain't right with Hangman Page. I liked it. I liked it. The match was excellent. I kind of, like I said, it gets to a point where you're having people kick out where it almost looks too ridiculous. But I do agree with others. Fight forever? Yeah, let them fight, man. They're entertaining. But I would just hold back some moves until the very end. Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander. Look, Chris Statlander is going to be a star. Some people think she's a star already. She still has a long way to go. Yes, it takes two to tango. Maybe you want to blame some of this on Nyla Rose as well. But Statlander tried to do a move, climbing the top rope, failed miserably, tried to do it again, and, you know, was caught in a powerbomb. She loses. You know, it's sloppy. The match was not good at all. Was not good. Cody versus MJF. Told the story it needed to tell. Cody has the broken toe. MJF pulls his boot off and is kicking him and biting his toe. What's up, Richard Slater? Biting his toe, kicking him, and just, you know, beating the crap out of him. And the match just told a wonderful story. Now, you know, look, Brandy diving onto Wardlow, whatever. Arn Anderson getting kicked in the face by Cody inadvertently, whatever. The referee. You know, it told the story it needed to tell. Now, a lot of us thought Cody's got to get his revenge on this. Cody loses. MJF gets the win. He takes the ring out. Cheap shots Cody in the face. The referee looked right at it. Referee did nothing. He falls down onto Cody, gets the pin. Cody's apologizing to the fans after. You know, Cody's got this incredible entrance. Now, look, you work behind the scenes. You do as much as Cody does. You know, you're going to put out all the pomp and circumstance. He's got a band performing for him. He's got Arn Anderson. He's got Brandy. He's got other people coming out. He's got a whole entourage. You know, it almost feels like, you know, hey, Triple H has the big entrance. You know, I got to have the big entrance too. But he works his ass off, so I guess he's entitled to it, right? But, you know, the match was fun. I liked the suspension of disbelief. You know, even though he has the broken toe, for real. But MJF biting his toe, stepping on his toe, you know, just taking the boot off. Those are things that you would, suspension of disbelief, want to really do to somebody outside the ring. MJF is the biggest asshole in wrestling. He's a prick. And I love the job that he does. He's phenomenal. I think a lot of people forget how young the guy is, too. Guy's only, what, 23? So they had a great match. Match went about 25 minutes. The tattoo. Okay, all right. I came prepared, everyone. This is what everybody's talking about, the tattoo. Some people thought it might be a stick-on tattoo or a temporary tattoo. No, that's a real tattoo. Now, will that be the only tattoo Cody gets? I don't know. Honestly, I saw people online commenting about it. Me personally, I don't have tattoos. So who am I to judge? You know what I mean? It's his logo. He's got it. You know, me, I wouldn't get a tattoo on my neck. I might have probably would have gotten it on my chest area. But who knows? Maybe he's going to get more. I know a lot of people were distracted from seeing a tattoo, but you'll forget about it in a couple of weeks. You know, but I wanted to show it to everyone because a lot of people saw it on TV, didn't get a real good close-up, so I figured I'd share it with you. But great match, and that feud is not over. So me, I thought Cody was going to get the win. So the fact that MJF gets the win, you know, this continues even further. Next, we had Pac and Orange Cassidy with Best Friends at Ringside. Look, I opened up talking about this. There's not much for me to add to it other than Orange Cassidy knows how to wrestle. His character, look, I think back to when I was a kid and we would have sometimes a comedy match. You'd have the midgets and the midgets would run around in circles and bite the referee in the ass or do a flip here, flip there, flip here. And then you could tell it was just choreographed crap even when you were 6 year old. You know, there's been comedy in wrestling since, you know, the golden age. So this is a different form of comedy. I mean, at one point, you know, you got Orange Cassidy, you know, with his kick to Pac, and Pac returns it, kick, 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 kick. Crowd is going into it. And, you know, in the end, Pac hits the cheap shots. So basically, okay, fun time is over. That's what the match was. It was great. Orange Cassidy got the show that son of a bitch knows how to wrestle. And it's a shame that so many people out there never bothered to look. And in the end, Pac gets the win. And it was the right way to go. But Orange Cassidy is super over. He is very talented. He's a draw in the indies. Not in a crazy draw, but still. A lot of fans love to check him out. Great match. Did what it needed to do. So now we got main event. Moxley and Jericho. You know, look, it's if you follow Jericho the last 2 years in the United States, you know the kind of Jericho match you're going to get. Rolling into the crowd a little bit. You know, he's not what he used to be, but he could still tell a story wonderfully. They're brawling outside the ring before the bell starts. He's got the video camera mocking Moxley, puts him to a table, uses the ring bell. At one point, he calls himself the winner, even though he wasn't the winner. You had Santana and Ortiz come down to ringside. Jake Hager coming down was kind of blah, little timing was off. But in the end, Moxley gets the win. It was a fun match. I did not expect Moxley to win it. I think a lot of people thought Jericho was retaining. Maybe you don't give it to Moxley yet. But Moxley wearing the patch, busted open. Later on reveals there's nothing wrong with the eye right now, which is good because this way he doesn't have to wear the patch anymore, even though it looked cool. But still, you put a patch over your eye and you try to do things, it's not as easy as you think. So Moxley gets the win, ending Jericho's reign as champion. After the match is over, Moxley gets on the mic, cutting a promo, putting over AEW, and just absolutely loving the fans. He's going to be a fighting champion. At this point, a lot of us think that maybe somebody's going to come out. Not the case. He was going to now celebrate and drink whiskey. And it was a fun brawl. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. It was a lot of fun. You know, at one point, Aubrey Edwards doing the out of here, you know, to everybody at ringside was kind of goofy. But, you know, in the end, Moxley gets the win. And it was a fun match. Now, the big question is, who does Moxley feud with next? So, but that was pretty much the pay-per-view. And look, I'm almost going an hour already. And I actually going to get cut off in a second because I actually got to do something. But on a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view a solid 8. I thought it was a wonderful pay-per-view. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way and watch it. I know it's $50, and I know it's kind of expensive, but to me, I feel like, you know, is it worth $50? No, maybe $35 or $40, but if you're going to spend $40, you're going to spend $50. But look, Wednesday Night Dynamite, I'll talk a little bit more about it. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably going to watch it again tomorrow and let a few things, you know, sink in a little bit further, and I'll add some more on Wednesday. But I just wanted to give you an overall view of what I thought of the pay-per-view. I thought it was excellent, excellent. AEW is starting to come off like a promotion that's been around for a long time. And I say that as a compliment. Because if you remember in the past with the lack of character development, that was a detriment. They were treating people as if we've been seeing them on TV for 5 years when we weren't. So they are really, they're learning on the job. And they really did a great job tonight. Wonderful job. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Moxley. You know, Moxley is their Austin. You know, I know it's a bad comparison, but I know it's what a lot of people think. You know, like he goes by his own rules and this and that. You know, they're two totally different characters, obviously. But the crowd loved it. They gave the crowd what they wanted, and it was a lot of fun. So let me know what you think. Post your comments here. I read them all. And I don't know if it's going to be discussed on Monday because I honestly don't know if my co-host is going to watch it. But I will definitely talk about it a little bit more on Wednesday. So I think that's pretty much it. And I'm out of here. So I know it was a quick hour, but there's no reason to really, you know, push it. But we'll have more discussion on Wednesday. Plus, I want to see all your feedback and we'll react to it. So, all right, everybody. Quick hour, but had a lot of fun. AEW, thumbs up tonight. Have a great night, everybody. Be well. Much appreciated, as always. Take care.
Son, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you're hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
Son, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night.
Don, oh my. You can have fun. You really are.